of me, with his weight spread all over my body. It's soothing. Locking my arms around him, I breathe into his neck and soak up his fresh water smell. I sigh contentedly. He might be a significant contributing factor to my stress and tiredness, but he makes it disappear just as quickly as he triggers it. Tell me how old you are. I break the comfortable silence after I've held him until his hammering heart has returned to its usual steady speed. 32, he says into my neck. Tell me. Does it matter? He asks tiredly. It doesn't matter, but I want to know. He might like this game, but I don't, and it's not going to make any difference to how I feel. I just think I should know. It is mandatory information, like his favorite color, food, or track, all of which I don't know. I know so little about him. I correct myself in an instant. Black, peanut butter, and angel. No, but I would like it if you told me. He nuzzles in my neck. All you need to know is that I love you. I sigh and start to think about my introduction of a truth fuck into our relationship. Something has got to wheedle this small, insignificant piece of information out of him. I know my persistently asking him is having no satisfactory results. How was your day? He asks, his voice muffled in my hair. Stupidly busy, but very constructive. I'm quite pleased with what I managed to get done, considering I thought my day would be a bombardment of calls and texts. And you need to stop sending flowers to my office. His head lifts, and I'm greeted with a disgusted look. No. Have a bath with me. I roll my eyes at his stubbornness, but I could think of nothing better than having a bath with him at the moment. I'd love to. He pulls himself up, so I have to release his neck, and he drops his lips to mine. You stay here. I'll sort the bath. He jumps up and takes his jacket off as he goes to the bathroom. I hear the water start running, and I turn onto my side, feeling content and tranquil. He makes me feel like this, and it's these times when I know why I'm here. It's how attentive, loving, and tender he is. Perhaps living with him wouldn't be so bad after all. But then I give myself a quick reminder that I'm currently on Central Jesse Cloud 9. I won't be thinking like this once I've not conformed to one of his demands. It will come, and it might even be about all of this moving in business. He strolls back into the bedroom, and I lie back and admire his incredible gait as he pulls his tie loose and throws it on the nearby chaise lounge, then starts working on his shirt buttons. He lets his shirt hang loose and leans down to take his shoes and socks off. He's barefoot with his trousers resting on those glorious narrow hips, his shirt open, revealing the sharp lines of his chest. I could sink my teeth into him. He would probably enjoy that. Enjoying the view? I look up and find green pools studding me. That look alone renders me a soaking wet mess. Always, I answer, my voice all throaty. Always, he confirms. Come here. I slide off the bed and slip out of my heels. Leave the dress, he demands softly. I pad over to him, keeping hold of his hypnotizing eyes. My heart is ricocheting off my ribcage, and I part my lips to let subtle streams of air escape, watching him as he slowly runs his tongue over his bottom lip. Turn around. I obey and slowly pivot away from him. I feel his palms rest on my shoulders, and the contact, even through my dress, zaps my nerve endings to life. He leans down and rests his mouth near my ear. I really like this dress. Both of his hands travel inward until they arrive at my nape. He gathers my hair and places it over my shoulder, and then slowly draws the zip of my dress all the way down. I flex my neck muscles in an attempt to control my overwhelming need to shake off the shudders that he's instigating. But I give up when I feel his lips rest against my upper back and his tongue glide up to the nape of my neck. Every fine hair stands on end, and I arch my back in response to his long, hot stroke. I love your back. His lips vibrate against my skin, generating even more shudders. He moves his mouth back to my ear. You have the softer skin. My head rolls onto his shoulder, and my face turns into his neck. He adjusts his head so his lips find mine as he hooks his hands into the front of my dress and pushes it down my body. Lace? He asks. I nod, and his eyes sparkle with lust as he kisses me gently, like I'm glass. Our tongues slip and slide over each other with little effort from either of us, and I lean back onto him for support. I'm relishing his gentleness and soft touch. His hands find my breasts, and he pinches my nipples through the lace of my bra, teasing them to firm peaks. See what you do to me. He grinds his hips into my lower back, demonstrating exactly what I do to him, before dropping a chaste kiss on my lips. I'll die loving you, Ava. I know how he feels. I don't see a future without him in it, and I'm excited and apprehensive about it all at once. It's the unknown. He is still unknown. I need more than his body, his attention, his challenging ways. He yanks the cups of my bra down, exposing my breasts, and skims the flats of his palms over the tips of my nipples. You and me, he breathes in my ear, sliding one of his hands down my front and straight to the apex of my thighs. My knees wobble when his hands cup me over my underwear, a deluge of liquid fire descending on me, my hips rolling forward against his hand to get more friction. Do I turn you on, Ava? You know you do. I pant and then moan as he thrusts his hips forward. Wrap your arms around my neck, he says quietly. I reach back and link my hands behind his neck. Are you wet for me? Yes. He hooks his thumbs in each side of my knickers. Only for me, he whispers, dragging his tongue lightly down the edge of my ear. Only for you, I agree quietly. I need nothing else except for him. I feel a sharp tug and a tear, and I look to see my knickers hanging from his index finger in front of me. He lets them slide off the end of his finger and takes his other hand to my hip. I jerk slightly, and he laughs in my ear. His fingers shift as his big hand wraps around my hip, spreading from my front to my back, his other hand hovering in front of me. What shall I do with this, Ava? He flexes his good hand in front of me. Show me. My hammering heart does nothing to regulate my short, sharp breaths. I want that hand on me. I remove my arm from around his neck and reach forward to take his hand, slowly guiding it down to the inside of my thigh and flattening his palm against my flesh. I start applying pressure on his hand and drawing up until his flat palm glides over my sex, the moisture ensuring it travels with ease. I gasp, my hips whipping back and colliding with his groin, provoking a moan to escape his lips and my head to fall back. I need him to kiss me. I turn my face into him, and he takes my hint, brushing his lips across mine. My teeth clamp down lightly on his bottom lip, and I pull back to let it slowly drag through my grip, his eyes locked on mine, as I continue to work his hand up and down in a slow, steady caress.
"Don't come."
His voice is rough. I immediately withdraw his hand and bring it up to his mouth, and he watches me as he runs his tongue straight down the center and onto his fingers. Oh, Lord, I'm desperate for him, but I can't disobey him. Not during these moments. My bra is unclasped, and I'm turned to face him before he brushes my hair back with his hand.
Promise me you'll never leave me.
I look up into his troubled eyes. I can't get used to this unsure part of him. I don't like it, but at least he's asking, not demanding.
I'll never leave you. Promise me.
I promise. I take his wrists one at a time and undo the cuffs of his shirt, then push it from his shoulders. He lets his arms hang by his side, his head dropped to watch me as I undo the button and zipper of his trousers. My palms slide around his hips and under his boxers to drag his trousers and underwear over the tight, smooth flesh of his arse and down his thighs, his thick, pulsing length jutting straight out from his hips invitingly. It triggers all sorts of desperate wants in me, not helped by his abdominals rippling under my touch as I skate my hands up his torso, marveling at his beauty.
I can't wait any more. I need to be inside you.
He steps free of his trousers and lifts me to him, my legs wrapping around him. I flinch when his cock brushes against my slickness as he carries me toward the wall where I'm pushed up against the cold paint, feeling the hot, slippery crown of his erection pushing at my opening, breaching my entrance only a little. He breathes heavily and lets his head fall into my neck, as if preparing himself for his invasion of me. I can't wait. I swivel my hips and bore down on him, taking him all the way.
Oh, you fucking kill me,
he moans as he stills inside me. I want to tilt my hips and instigate movement, but I know from the jolting and twitching of him inside me that he's holding back, so I keep still and sweep my hands through his dark blonde hair while he gathers himself, his heart pounding so hard I can almost hear it.
Are you holding on to me?
He brings his face up to mine.
Yes.
I weave my fingers together around his neck and tighten my thighs. He growls with approval and releases his hands from my back, planting them onto the wall on either side of me. Then he slowly eases back on a steady breath before plunging forward on a sharp exhale. I moan. The sensation of his hot, throbbing assault of me has me shifting my hands and clawing at his back. Resting his forehead against mine, he slowly begins rocking in and out of me. I sigh on every plunge as he works me up steadily. Oh, fucking hell. He feels so good. My grip begins to slip on his sweat-dampened skin, our breath mingling together in the close space between our mouths.
Kiss me,
he gasps, and I push my lips to his mouth, tackling his tongue. I feel a scream bubbling in my throat as he rears back and pushes forward, sending me sliding up the wall. I clench my thighs to lift myself farther and then bore down on him.
Good God, woman, what the hell do you do to me?
He thrusts forward again and again, pushing me up the wall, swallowing my small cries as he kisses the life out of me.
I've waited all day for this.
He hits me with another thrust.
It's been the longest fucking day of my life.
You feel so good. I'm reveling in his attention.
I feel good. Fuck, Ava. You do serious things to me.
He bucks forward.
Jesse,
I'm a despairing wreck. The calm, smooth motions are fading fast, being replaced with firmer, more aggressive strikes.
Ava, wherever I'm going from now on, I'm taking you with me, baby. Thrust.
Holy shit, I'm struggling here. My nails dig harshly into his flesh.
Shit, Ava.
He fires into me, beads of his sweat dripping onto me.
You're going to come.
Hard. He mumbles in my mouth. I can't hold back anymore. He strikes with ferocious power and I snap, the coils of pleasure peaking and firing off, my nails sinking into his flesh, my teeth gripping his lip harshly. I drop my forehead to his damp, salty skin, where his neck meets his shoulder, and rock my head from side to side as I jerk uncontrollably against his big body.
Ava!
He shouts as he pulls back and then smashes forward, slowly withdrawing, before hammering into me again, finding his own release as wave after wave of contractions sweep through me. He moans, then sinks us to the floor and falls onto his back, heaving and sweating. I drag myself up and sit astride him, planting my hands on his slick chest and gently grinding myself on his hips. His arms fall back over his head as he looks up and watches me work us both down. We are both wet, out of breath, and thoroughly satisfied. I'm exactly where I should be.
What are you thinking about?
He puffs, looking up at me. About how much I love you. I tell him the truth. His lips curve at the corners, and a look of pure satisfaction spreads across his handsome face.
Do I still qualify as your god?
Always. Am I still your temptress? I grin and circle my hands on his chest.
That, baby, you most certainly are. God, I love your grin.
He gives me his own roguish one. I reach down and pinch his nipples.
Bath god?
He jolts upright, nearly headbutting me in the process.
Shit, it's still running.
He jumps up with me, still in his arms, and still buried inside me, hissing as he grips me too hard with his bad hand. Put me down! I try to peel my body away from his, but he just increases his grip.
Never.
He takes us into the bathroom, where we find the huge bath is not even 3/4 of the way full. He reaches over to the waterfall tap and flips it off. You could leave that bath running for a week, and it wouldn't be full, I say as he steps in and lowers us down.
I know. The designer of all this Italian shit obviously has no regard for the environment or my carbon footprint.
Says he with 12 superbikes, I quip, and then sigh happily as I'm sunk into the lovely relaxing water, still astride his lap, still full to the hilt, with his semi-erect cock. I could look at you all day. I run my fingertip over every square inch of his hard, lightly tanned chest, swirling and flicking as I go. The silence is comfortable as he watches my delicate touch skate all over his body, my fingers working their way up to his neck, his chin, his lips, and they part, his eyes twinkling, as I lower myself to rest on his chest, my mouth meeting his.
I love your mouth.
I drop kisses all the way around the edges of his lips until I'm back to where I started.
I love your body.
My hands drift down his arms, my tongue slipping into his mouth.
I love your crazy mind, too.
I coax his tongue from his mouth and lap gently, as I trail my hands back up his arms until my palms wrap around his neck and my body arches into him. He moans.
You make me crazy, Ava. Just you.
I feel his big palms slide up my back until he's cupping the back of my head and pushing me into him, our mouths continuing to work each other slowly, our bodies slipping against each other slightly. I know I make him crazy, but he makes me crazy too. I pull back and look at my crazy man. Crazy? Ish. He smiles and lifts me from his lap, turning me until I'm seated between his parted thighs. Let me wash you. He grabs the sponge and starts squeezing the hot water all over me, resting his cheek against the side of my head. I need to talk to you about something, he says quietly. There is no mistaking his apprehension. I tense all over. What? The manor. He has ceased squeezing warm water over me, and I can almost hear those fucking cocks clanking around in his handsome head. I do not like the direction of tub talk today. I want to get out and have a shower. The anniversary party. The worry is clear in his tone, and it bloody should be. What about it? I'm not going to get myself worked up because I really, really am not ever, not in a million years, going. Never. No way. Is Kate still going? I cringe. Undoubtedly. I still want you to come. You can't ask me to do that. You asked me to go before I knew. Are you going to avoid my workplace forever? He asks sarcastically. I don't appreciate his tone of voice, not in the slightest. I might do. Don't be stupid, Ava. He recommences soaking me in water and presses a kiss to my temple. Will you please just think about it? I sigh, tiredly. I'm making no promises, and if you even think about trying to fuck some sense into me on this, I'm leaving, I threaten. I'm being completely dramatic, but I want him to know how much I don't want to go. He nuzzles my ear and wraps his legs around the outside of mine. I want the woman who keeps my heart beating with me. Oh, God. That's emotional blackmail, if ever there was any. Damn you, Jesse Ward. Of an age I still don't bloody know. I let him continue to wash me while I think about using this to my advantage. Maybe I could negotiate his age from him in return for my presence at the manor's anniversary party. I need to think hard about how much I want to know his age compared to how much I don't want to go to the party. That's a tricky one. Did you speak to Clive? I know he hasn't. I'm being sneaky. About what? The mystery woman. No, Ava. I didn't have time. I promise you I will ask, though. I'm just as curious as you are. Now, are you hungry? He circles his tongue around my ear. It could send me to sleep. At least he hasn't lied about talking to Clive. I'm not going to sleep until you tell me who that woman was. How can I tell you if I don't know? You do know. I don't fucking know. I jump at his harshness, and then feel his arms lock tighter around me. I'm sorry, baby. Okay, I say quietly, but it's not. I'll speak to Clive in the morning. My lovely lady is exhausted, he whispers. Take away? He bites at my earlobe, smoothing the soles of his feet down my shins. You have a fridge full of food. It's a waste. Well, can you be bothered to cook? No, I can't, but I notice he doesn't offer himself. Then again, he openly admits that cooking is one of the only things he's not amazing at. He was serious as well, the arrogant arse. Takeaway. I agree. I'll go and order while you wash your hair. He lifts himself out of the bath and leaves me in the massive tub, and I watch his wet nakedness stroll out of the bathroom, returning a few moments later with shampoo and conditioner. I'm eternally grateful. My poor hair has been mistreated way too much lately. He gives me a grin and leans down to kiss my forehead. Wear lace. Chapter 8. I stretch myself out, and I'm immediately aware of Jesse's absence in the bed. Propping myself up on my elbows, I spy him sitting on the chaise lounge, bending down. Oh, no. I lie back down as quietly as I possibly can and shut my eyes. He might not have noticed I woke, if I'm lucky. After a few silent moments, I feel the bed dip, but I keep my eyes firmly shut, silently begging him to leave me alone. An age of me pretending to be asleep passes by, and he still hasn't nudged me, so I cautiously open my eyes and find green pools of delight staring down at me. I groan very loudly as I watch the semblance of a small smile tickle his lips. I flip myself over onto my front and cover my head with a pillow, then hear him laugh as the pillow is whipped from my head and I'm turned over onto my back. "Good morning," he chirps, and I screw my face up in disgust at his cheery break of dawn happiness. "Please don't make me," I plead, pulling my most solemn face. "Up you get." He grabs my hand with his good one and pulls me into a sitting position. I make a big display of moaning in repulsion at the idea of starting the day, and then nearly start crying when he presents me with my freshly laundered running kit that he so generously bought me. "I want sleepy sex," I complain. "Please?" He hoofs me off the bed and draws my lace knickers down my legs before tapping my ankles to lift. "It will do you good." I lift as instructed. "This is torture," I grumble. "It's all right for him running stupid distances on a daily basis. I like having you with me." I remain grumpy but silent as I let him dress me and lead me down to the foyer of Luso. We emerge into the dawn sunlight to birds chirping and the hum of delivery vehicles. I start to stretch before any instruction from Jesse, and he smiles as he watches me, at the same time carrying out his own muscle sweep. I want to be a grump, but he's just too delicious in his black shorts and tight white tank, his hair a disheveled mess, and his morning stubble at just the right length. "Ready?" I chirp as I bounce off toward the pedestrian gates. I punch in the exit code and start jogging toward the Thames. I feel better already. "Just think," he muses, as he joins my side and we start running steadily together. "We can do this together every morning." I cough on a sharp inhale of air. 14 miles every morning? I don't think so, the mad bastard. We jog at a steady pace, and I'm reminded of the relaxing advantages of running at this time of day. It really is very peaceful and mind-cleansing. After we conquer the Green Park, we make our way onto Piccadilly, passing the point at which I collapsed the last time. I glance across to the spot where I sat every morning, picking at the grass and soaking up the dew through my trousers. I can see myself there, a pasty, empty waif, a half-complete woman. "Hey!" I snap from my daydream and look up at Jesse, finding a concerned face. "I'm fine," I puff, shaking my head and giving him a reassuring smile. I shake off my sad thoughts and mentally applaud myself. I'm going to do this. I feel Jesse's elbow nudge me, and I look up to see a look of recognition on his face at my achievement. But then I do a quick calculation in my head and figure that we're probably only 2/3 done. And at the thought of at least another 4.5 miles, I hit the proverbial runner's wall again. My lungs seem to drain of all air, and my body starts burning up along with them. I'm not going to do this. I battle on for a few 100 yards, and then enter the park at the next entrance, dramatically collapsing on the damp grass. Again. I heave valuable air into my scorching lungs, and pant like a dog in heat. I watch through my slightly blurred vision as Jesse approaches me and stands over me.
I did better than last time, I splutter between dragging in long, wheezy breaths. He smiles.
You did, baby.
He drops to his knees beside me and lifts my leg, rubbing firm, slow circles into my calf muscle. It has me groaning and him laughing.
I'm proud of you. Give it a few days, and you'll fly through it.
What? My eyes bulge under my closed lids. If I had spare breath, I'd cough in disgust. But I don't, so I lie on the grass, as he works his magic hands on every burning muscle. But all too soon, he pulls me up into a sitting position and waves a 20 under my nose.
I came prepared.
Coffee? He nods past me, and I look to see a Starbucks over the road. I could kiss him. I throw my arms around him in gratitude for his forward thinking. I've been rubbed back to life, and now I get a Starbucks. The run was worth it. He laughs and stands with me still wrapped around his neck. Come on. He pries me from his body and takes my hand, and we stroll over to Starbucks, getting served super quick due to the early hour.
Do you want something to eat? Jesse asks.
No, I answer quickly, dragging my eyes away from the mouth-watering temptations in the glass cabinet. He smiles and wraps his palm around the back of my neck, pulling me into him and resting his lips on my forehead before turning his attention back to the swooning sales clerk.
A cappuccino, extra shot, no chocolate, a strong black coffee, and 2 blueberry muffins, please.
He smiles brightly at the young girl, who giggles nervously. He returns his eyes to me.
Go and get a seat.
I find a window seat and flop down in the leather couch. What a perfect way to start the day. 10-mile run aside. I would still take sleepy sex over this, though. I would take sleepy sex over anything. It's not long before my mind starts drifting to Jesse's plea for me to go to the Manor's party. What sort of party would it be anyway? Visions of semi-naked people milling around, hazy dim lighting, and erotic music all invade my worried mind. And hooks, hoists, whips. Fucking hell. It would be like a giant gangbang with kinky toys. Oh, Jesus, good Lord above! Not only do I not want to go myself, I'm not that crazy about the thought of Jesse being there either. An assault of jealousy spikes at me repeatedly as I imagine women drooling all over him, trying to entice him with promises of wicked sex. There's no doubt he's up for a bit of rough, and he's bloody good at it too. He's used to all of that shit. I'm having a mental breakdown in Starbucks, and again, I'm reminded that Jesse has had lots of practice. With sex. And toys. And... stop! I saw the look on those women's faces when I was at the Manor. I was the interloper, and I can imagine the reception I would get if I did go to the party. It certainly wouldn't be any warmer than my previous visits. I would be, in effect, gate-crashing their gangbang. This is horrible.
Dreaming?
I pull my eyes from the lush greenness of the park across the road to the lush greenness of my lord of the sex manor. I feel depressed and slightly inadequate all of a sudden, and really, really bitter, resentful and consumed with jealousy. I smile a really unconvincing smile, and he eyes me suspiciously while arranging the coffees and muffins on the table. I start picking at the top of my muffin as I stir my coffee. I'm not coming to the party, I say to my cappuccino. I love you, but I can't do that. I add the last part in an attempt to soften the blow. My lord doesn't take no well. I know he's watching me, but I can't muster up the strength to appear fine. I'm not, and after a few silent moments pass, I glance up to establish what expression his handsome face is displaying. There's no rage or scowl,
but his frown line has jumped into position, and he's chewing his bottom lip. "It's not going to be how you think it will be, Ava," he says quietly. "How do you mean?" He takes a sip of his coffee and sets it down on the table before shifting forward in his chair and resting his elbows on his knees.
"Has the manor ever given you the impression of a seedy sex club?"
"No," I admit.
"Ava, there won't be people wandering around naked and propositioning you. You won't be manhandled up the stairs to the communal room. There are rules."
"Rules?" He smiles.
"The only places people are permitted to remove their clothes is in the communal room or one of the private suites. The ground floor, spa, and sports facilities are run like any other exclusive resort. I don't run a brothel, Ava. My members pay a lot of money to enjoy everything the manor provides, not just the privilege to pursue their sexual preference with like-minded people."
"What's your sexual preference?" I ask quietly. I know I'm blushing, and I could kick myself. Of all the things I ask this. What the hell is wrong with me?
He grins that roguish grin and pops a piece of muffin in his mouth, chewing purposely slowly and watching me as I writhe under his potent gaze.
"You? Just me?"
"Just you, Ava."
His tone is husky and determined, and I can't help the small smile tickling the corners of my mouth. He's just cranked up his sexual magnetism tenfold.
"Good." I take my first real mouthful of my muffin, immensely satisfied by his response.
"Just me. I like that answer. Do I even care about what goes on at the manor as long as Jesse isn't involved? I just have to disregard the fact that he has been. To what extent has he been involved, though? And is it compulsory for me to know?"
We watch each other for a short while, him running his index finger across his bottom lip, me marveling at how damn sexy he looks doing just that.
"You'll come?" he asks, instead of demands. He's being really rather reasonable for Jesse.
"Please,"
he adds, hopefully on a pout. Oh, I just can't refuse this man. "Only because I love you."
His pout transforms into a killer smile, and I pool on the couch.
"Say it again."
"What, that I'll come?"
"Oh, you'll come all right. No, tell me you love me again."
"I do," I shrug.
"I love you."
He grins.
"I know you do. I love hearing you say it."
He raises his glorious body slowly and puts his hand out to me. I take it, falling into his chest when he tugs a little.
"If you had kept running, we would be at home by now, and I would be lost inside you."
He drops a long, lingering kiss on my lips, and then proceeds to toss me onto his shoulder and stride out to the street. I catch a glimpse of the young girl who served Jesse, looking longingly at me being carted out over the shoulder of my Adonis. I smile to myself. This is what every woman wants, and I have it. No one is taking him away from me. So if I have to go to the stupid anniversary party just to fight off the pack of lions waiting to sink their claws into him, then I will. I'll trample. I'm tossed in a taxi and subjected to a torturous journey home. I can see the obvious solid iron length under Jesse's shorts, and I'm fidgeting to try and dispel the buzzing hijacking me between my thighs.
"Morning, Clive," Jesse says urgently as he drags me through the foyer.
It's a good job I have my trainers on. I may as well be sprinting. He bundles me into the elevator, smashes his code into the keypad, and pins me against the mirrored wall, attacking my mouth hungrily.
"I might have to fuck you before my run in future,"
he growls into my mouth. His primal tone has me falling to pieces under his hard body. My hands are fisted in his hair and pressing his mouth closer to mine, our tongues urgently battling in our mouths. This is going to be a shock and awe moment. We are way past sleepy sex territory, and if those elevator doors don't open soon, that moment might happen here. The doors slide open, and I'm walked into the penthouse foyer backward, our mouths remaining fused, and our tongues relentlessly dueling. I don't know how he manages it, but he gets the door open without breaking our contact, and I'm having my sweaty running kit ripped from my body before the door is closed. He wants in quick, which is absolutely fine by me. I kick my trainers off as he yanks my shorts down my legs, and I start pulling his shirt up over his head. I'm released from his mouth for the few seconds it takes me to get his shirt past his face, before his mouth is crashing back to mine again, and he's walking forward, directing my backward steps toward the wall by the front door. He turns me around. "On your knees. Put your hands on the wall." He spits urgently, and I waste no time following through on his command while he rids himself of his trainers and shorts. I drop to my knees and spread my palms on the cool paint, panting and impatient. He grabs my hips tightly, and I jerk under his hold, but he doesn't ease up. He pulls my hips back slightly, knees my legs apart, and positions himself behind me. "Don't come until I say. Understand?" I nod and clench my eyes shut to try and ready myself for the onslaught of power that I'm about to welcome into my body. I should know by now that when he's like this, no amount of mental psyching up can prepare me for him. I feel the head of his cock pushing at my entrance, and as soon as he's leveled it up, he pounds forward on a garbled yell. He gives me no breathing space to adjust or accept him. He immediately yanks me back onto himself and begins to piston in and out of me ruthlessly. He's a man possessed. Holy fucking shit! My eyes fly open in shock, and I shift my hands on the wall, desperately trying to steady myself as he continues to wildly buck into me. "Jesus, Jesse!" I scream around the delightful invasion of my body. "You knew this would be hard, Ava," he barks, smashing on. "Don't you dare fucking come!" I try and focus on anything but the immense, fast accumulation of pressure that's building up in my groin, but his relentless and barbaric strikes are not helping my desperate situation. I won't be able to hold out for long at this riotous rate. "Fuck!" he roars frenziedly. "You fucking drive me crazy!" He punctuates each word with a hard, sharp thrust. I'm sweating more now than I did on my 10-mile run. His hands slide up my back, from my hips to grip onto my shoulders, and my head rolls back under his warm, firm hold. I'm delirious with pleasure. The telltale signs of him tensing travels through his arms straight to my shoulders. I'm relieved. I'm past the point of return, but I can't fully let go until I get the okay. What the hell would he do if I defied him and gave in to my demanding release anyway? He continues to buck and slap against me, and on an ear-piercing roar, he slams into me with such force, tears stab at my eyes. He stills and leans against my back, pushing me forward onto the wall, circling his hips deeply. I'm buzzing, my body teetering on the edge. He reaches up and grabs my ponytail, pulling my head back to rest on his shoulder, moving his damaged hand around my front to the inside of my thigh. He pulls my hair so my face turns into his, my hazy vision met with dark green. "Come," he demands, softly sliding his finger down the center of my core and sweeping his tongue through my mouth. His words and his touch trigger a shift of pressure in my groin that seizes me from every angle, and I explode on a stretched-out, blissful moan into his mouth. I sag in his hold and let him softly massage me through my climax.
"You are a god,"
I mumble against his mouth, moving my hands from the wall to link around the back of his neck. I feel his grin against my lips.
"You're so lucky. You're an arrogant god."
He slips out of me and turns me around in his arms. I maneuver with him, draping my arms back around his neck.
"Your arrogant god loves you so fucking much."
He showers my sweaty face with kisses.
"Your arrogant god wants to spend the rest of his life smothering you with his love and his body."
He stands us up, dragging me with him. I'm delighted, but I'm also ignoring the small part of my brain that is trying to remind me that with Jesse's love and body also comes Mr. Challenging Control Freak. "What's the time?" I ask around his morning stubbled face.
"I don't know."
He carries on with his smothering, and I start walking backward toward the kitchen so I can get a look at the clock. He follows, still wrapped around me and still dropping kisses all over me. I catch a glimpse of the cooker clock.
"Shit!"
"Hey, watch your fucking mouth." I wriggle free of his hold and start running toward the stairs.
"It's 7:45,
I yell as I take the stairs two at a time. Where's the time gone? My arrogant god is too much of a distraction. I'm going to be super late. Throwing myself in the shower, I make quick work of ridding my body of sweat and cum. I'm frantically rinsing my hair when I feel Jesse's hand slide over my wet stomach, and I wipe my eyes to find him towering over me with his dirty, roguish grin spread across his beautiful face.
"Don't," I warn. "I'm not being distracted by him anymore."
He pouts and works his hands up to my shoulders, yanking me forward onto his mouth.
"I'm going to be late," I argue feebly, trying to fight off the budding craving as he teases my lips with his.
"I want to make an appointment," he says, licking my bottom lip, pushing his groin into my stomach.
"To fuck me? No appointment necessary," I quip, trying to pull away from him.
He growls and yanks me back.
"Mouth.
I already told you. I don't need to make an appointment to fuck you. I do that whenever and wherever I please." He rubs his groin back into me, and it's now I know that I have to escape before I'm swallowed up again.
"I've got to go."
I duck out of his hold and hastily leave him in the shower, sulking like a schoolboy. He just had me. Although I could go again, too. I brush my teeth and make my way into the bedroom, sitting myself in front of the floor-length mirror with my makeup bag and hairdryer. I commence a fast blast dry, quickly pin it up, and start applying my makeup. Jesse walks out of the bathroom gloriously naked and unashamed. I scowl at his naked back, dragging my eyes away to continue with my makeup. I'm being distracted. Leaning forward, I sweep my mascara wand over my lashes and pull back to find Jesse standing to the side of me, leaning into the mirror. I look up and come face to face with a broad head of his semi-erect manhood. My eyes are fixed, absolutely delighted, and then my greedy stare travels up his naked body and finds him looking in the mirror, coaxing his hair to the side with some wax. He knows what he's doing. I take a calming breath and return to my makeup. But then he makes a point of brushing against me, his firm leg sweeping lightly over my bare arm. I shudder and glance up to find a twitching lip as he tries to feign ignorance. The swine. He looks down at me in the reflection of the mirror, his eyes swimming with all sorts of promises, and then he lowers himself behind me until he's sitting cradling my body. Shifting forward, he pushes his front into my back, wrapping his arms around my waist and resting his chin on my shoulder. I hold his gaze in the mirror.
"You're beautiful," he says softly.
"You are too," I reply, tensing slightly when I feel his hardness pushing into me. He fights a smile, knowing damn well what he's doing.
"Don't go to work."
I knew this was coming.
"Please don't,"
he pouts.
"Don't you want to fall into bed and let me pay special attention to you all day?"
I could think of nothing better, but if I relent on this, I'm fully aware that I'm setting a rod for my own back. He can't keep me to himself all of the time, although I know he doesn't think that his ambition is unreasonable.
"I have to work,"
I say, clenching my eyes shut when he turns his lips into my ear.
"I have to have you."
He circles his tongue lightly in my ear.
"Oh, God, I need to escape now.
Jesse, please." I wriggle in his embrace. He scowls at me in the mirror.
"Are you denying me?"
"No, I'm delaying you," I reason, wriggling harder and turning myself around in his arms. I push him down to his back and lie on his front, pushing my lips onto his arms falling above his head as he moans around my kiss. "I need to work, God."
"Work me. I'll be a very grateful client."
I pull back and smile. "You mean to say that instead of busting a gut keeping clients happy with drawings, plans, and schedules, I should just jump into bed with them?"
His eyes turn black. "Don't say things like that, Ava."
"It was a joke," I laugh. I'm flipped over and pinned under his body.
"Do you see me laughing? Don't say things that will make me crazy mad."
"I'm sorry," I blurt quickly. I need to cop onto a zero-tolerance approach to light-hearted jokes that suggest me with another man. He shakes his head and lifts himself from my body, strolling off to the wardrobe. Taking the loss of distraction as an opportunity, I finish my makeup. I've really upset him. An unexpected and very unwelcome image of Jesse with another woman jumps into my head, making me do my own little head shake. It's like my subconscious is giving me a taste of my own medicine. I screw my face up in disgust and throw my eyeliner into my makeup bag. It worked. I feel my flesh prickling with possessiveness. After smothering myself in cocoa butter, I slip on my lace underwear and my red shift dress.
"I like your dress."
I swing around, and my eyes are assaulted by a devastatingly handsome navy-suited beast. I sigh in appreciation. He is just too bloody perfect, and he's not shaved. I swoon on the spot. He looks like he's got over his little strop.
"I like your suit," I counter.
He grins and finishes straightening his grey tie before pulling the collar of his white shirt down. If I were any other woman, and I found out about the manor and the god who owned it, I would join too. I throw my bag on the bed, retrieve my phone, sweep some gloss across my lips, and grab my shoes all under his watchful eye. I have another futile rummage through my bag for my pills, but I know I'm searching in vain. "Lost something." He splashes some aftershave on. "My pills," I grumble with my head practically inside my oversized leather shoulder bag. I run my fingers around the stitching of the lining to check for rips.
"Again?"
I look up at him and smile apologetically. I feel stupid, and I'm not relishing the thought of visiting Dr. Monroe again.
I need to sort that today before I miss any more. "I'll see you later."
He lands me with a chaste kiss on my cheek and leaves me to carry on searching for rips in the lining of my bag. Maybe I should just get the jab and save myself all of this embarrassment. I freeze on the spot, my brow furrowing, my mind jumping the gun. I think. No, he wouldn't. Why ever would he? Chapter 9. As I walk into the foyer, I find Clive rubbing the cuff of his jacket on the marble desk, buffing it to a shine. Morning, Clive.
Good morning, Ava, he says happily.
I return his cheeriness with an over-the-top smile. Clive, I don't suppose you could show me the CCTV footage from Sunday, could you?
No,
he blurts quickly, suddenly becoming busy and frantically typing on his keyboard. I eye him suspiciously, but he won't look at me. Has Jesse spoken to you?
No.
He shakes his head and keeps his eyes down. Of course, I sigh, turning and walking out of the foyer. The Lord is cute, and I am suspicious.
Oh, Ava,
I hear Clive coming after me.
Maintenance rang. The door is on order, but it's coming from Italy, so it may be a while.
He walks beside me.
You should call Jesse and let him know.
I carry on walking, and he carries on flanking me.
I did, Ava. Mr. Ward advised me that I should consult with you on anything regarding the penthouse.
I skid to a halt.
I'm sorry.
I sound confused. Clive looks nervous.
Mr. Ward, he said you live here now, and anything concerning the penthouse should be run past you, especially as you designed it.
Oh, he did he? I grind, feeling only a little guilty for sounding so menacing. Clive, do me a favor. Ring Mr. Ward and tell him I don't live here.
Clive looks like I've just told him that he has two heads. Of course, Ava. I'll, do it now.
Good, I snap, and carry on outside the building. I'm fuming. He moves me in under the persuasion of a sense fuck, followed by a reminder fuck, and then expects me to become Molly Mop? No amount of sense or reminder fucking will work in his favor this time. I stand and rummage through my bag for my sunglasses and car keys, completely riled, and as I slip on my glasses, Massive Attack's Angel creeps into my ears.
Oh, no!
I screech. I'm even madder now. He knows how I feel about that track. I grab my phone and connect the call.
Stop messing about with my phone.
No.
Reminds me of you,
he yells.
What do you mean you don't fucking live there?
I'm not your fucking maid, I shout back.
Watch your fucking mouth.
Fuck off!
Mouth!
The cheek. If he thinks I'm going to be playing the dutiful domestic lady, he's got another thing coming. Looking up, I spot John leaning against his Range Rover. His signature wraparound glasses are on, but I can see his arched brow above them. He's enjoying this.
What's John doing here? I snap.
Have you calmed down yet?
Answer me.
Who the hell do you think you're talking to?
You. Are you listening? Why is John here?
He's going to take you to work.
I don't need a chauffeur, Jesse. I've calmed my voice slightly. How undignified of me, shouting and swearing like a drunken football hooligan, and in front of the newest, most prestigious residential complex in London. John's grinning. It's new to me. I've never seen him display any humor.
He was in the area. I thought it would be easier than you trying to park.
Jesse has calmed his tone, too. Well, at least tell me what's happening if it involves me. I spit down the phone and hang up. Controlling pig! I make my way over to John, and my phone starts singing again en route. I'll be changing that ringtone. I flash my screen at John as I pass him, and he grins again.
Yes, dear,
I quip, rather bravely, fully aware that I'm digging myself a hole here. But he's out of touching distance, so there's no risk of any kind of Jesse-style fucking to put me in my place.
Don't be sarcastic, Ava. It doesn't suit you.
I climb into the Range Rover and put my seatbelt on. You'll be pleased to know that I'm on my way to work with John. I glance over at John and he nods. Would you like confirmation? I thrust the phone under John's nose. John, make yourself known.
It's all good, Jesse.
He smiles and I notice a gold tooth. I put the phone back to my ear. Happy?
Very, he snaps. Ever heard of a retribution fuck?
The very words send shivers down my spine. I glance at John. He's still grinning. No.
Are you going to demonstrate?
If you're lucky. I'll see you at home. He hangs up. I put my phone in my bag, feeling coils of anticipation springing into my groin. Then I look at the beast of a man sitting next to me. Were you really in the area? John stops with his signature hum.
What do you think?
As I thought. How old is Jesse? I ask casually. I don't know why I choose that tone. It's ridiculous that I don't know his age.
32,
John replies, completely deadpan. 32. That's how old Jesse said he was last night. I look at John, who has started humming again. He's not 32, is he? He smiles again, flashing his gold tooth.
He said you would ask.
I shake my head, at a total loss on the subject, but as John seems to be in a talkative mood, I'll take another angle. Is he always so challenging?
Only with you, girl. He's actually quite laid back.
I obviously bring out the worst in him, I grumble.
Ah, girl, go easy on him.
Do you want to live with him and his challenging ways? I ask, exasperated.
So you've moved in, then?
His eyebrows appear over his shades as he turns his face to me. I hope John isn't jumping to the same conclusion as Sarah did, that I'm after his money. I suddenly have the urgent need to defend myself. He asked me and pretty much bullied a yes out of me, but I'm not so sure. It's a bit soon. That's what that little spat was about. He doesn't like being told no. I wave my phone at John. The corners of John's lips turn down, and he starts nodding his head thoughtfully.
He certainly has a way with you.
I scoff and do my own little thoughtful headshake. He certainly does have a way with me. It's frightening. How long have you known him? I may as well get my fill. He might shut up and not start talking again.
Too long,
he laughs, and it's a deep, rumbling belly sound that has him developing a few more chins as his neck retracts. I bet you see some sights at the manor. Now that I know what the place is, John's role is all the more clear.
It's all in my job description,
he says casually. Ah, which reminds me. Why were the police there? John turns an almost threatening face to me, and I wither slightly.
Just some idiot playing games. No need for you to worry, girl.
His attention is turned back to the road, leaving me put firmly in my place. Information. I need some damn information. I'm dropped off at my office, and John nods his farewell.
Morning, Ava, Sally says cheerfully.
She has on the same top as yesterday, but in a different color. Today's is red.
Hi, Sal. Are you okay?
Yes, thank you for asking. I'm very good. Can I get you a coffee?
Please.
Coming up.
She flashes me a lovely smile and skips to the kitchen. I notice she has nail color on, and it's not nude or clear. It's firecracker red. This must be in preparation for her date. I like sparkling Sally. I hope she doesn't get crapped all over. I load my computer up, crack on with some estimates, and prepare a heap of invoice requests for Sally. My inbox is flooded with new emails, mostly junk, so I start to plough through them. At 10:30, I hear the office door open, and when I look up, I see a fan of calla lilies spread across the arm of Luso Girl. I knew he wouldn't take any notice of my request. She rolls her eyes, and I give her an apologetic shrug. After exchanging flowers and signatures, I retrieve the card. "Looking forward to your retribution, fuck. Your god, X." I smile and send him a text. "Yes, I am, and yes, you are. Your A, X." I'm well and truly on Central Jesse Cloud 9. After a morning of knuckling down, I decide to give Kate a call while I'm taking a few minutes out for lunch. "Well, hello," she sings down the phone in greeting. "Hey, you okay? It's all good in the hood. How's my favorite boyfriend to a friend?" she laughs. "He's fine," I answer dryly. She only loves him so much because he bought her Margot Jr. "Listen, I'm on my way to Brighton to drop off a cake in Margot Jr. Do you want to do lunch on Thursday? I'm a bit hectic tomorrow. I've got stacks to catch up on." "Being distracted, are we?" "Fun," she snaps. "Do you want to do lunch or not?" "All right," I blurt. Her oversensitivity is making me super suspicious. "Thursday, 1 o'clock at Baroque." "Perfect." She hangs up. Blimey, I think I just hit a nerve. Fun my arse. She's skirting around this and brushing it off far too hastily. I hear the door of the office open and look up to see Tom arriving. "Tom, we need to have a word about your attire." He looks down at his